Let us pray. Yahweh, the hour is come again. That your son, Yeshua, must be lifted up. For Yeshua said, and if I be lifted up, I, Yeshua, will draw men or women, all boys and girls unto me. So lift him up again today. May Jesus be seen clearly. May Jesus be heard and understood without any ambiguity. And when this experience shall have come to a pause, may Jesus be honored. May Jesus be obeyed, for thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. And the people of God say amen, amen, and amen. My friends, last few weeks, we introduce a theme for a series of sermons that we call Residues of Discontent. Residues of Discontent. The first sermon in that series that has to do with the book of Revelation, the inception of sin, the time allotted for the manifestation of sin and what Yahweh plans to do to eradicate this universe, this world of sin, and introduce a world and a universe of eternal peace and tranquility. We call that first sermon Summary of the Apocalypse. Summary of the Apocalypse. In that sermon, we said that the whole book of Revelation is summed up in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 through 19. And in it, we're giving four revelatory displays that encourages us to continue to hold on to Yeshua, because no matter what else we read in the book of Revelation, the total sum of the book, the summary of the book, the conclusion is that Yeshua and the sins win. They are victorious over the devil and the kingdom of hell. And so, we say that these four revelatory displays are, number one, the status of the revelator, the status of the champion, the victor, the status of Yeshua as the champion, the winner, the victor of Revelation, the victor of this controversy between heaven and hell. We find that in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. And then we said the second display is the status or the status and the final position of the saints and servants of Yahweh. We find that in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. The third display, we said, is the state of the Savior's universal supremacy. We find that in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 7. Then we said the fourth and final display is the statement of validation and confidence in his authority, his victory, and his sovereignty. That's what the whole book of Revelation is about. And we find that in Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. And then when we move on to the second installment of this series, we dealt with a message entitled Scars of Victory. That message came from the second set of visions in the apocalypse in the book of Revelation. We said we find that second set of vision in Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5. We started with the first scene in that second set of visions, which is found in Revelation chapter 4. And in that scene, we see Yahweh, great, sovereign, and eternal God, sitting on his throne in the rarefied heaven, exalted on the glory and brightness of his throne. We see the four beasts, the 24 elders, and all the host of heaven vociferously with triumphant anthems praising him as King Eternal, immortal, and invisible. Then we said, in our second sermon in this series, that the scene changes. Now we are introduced to the second and third scenes in this second set of visions. And there, the theme is focused on the validation and settling the question of the divinity of Yeshua. See, there we see Yahweh, the King Eternal, sitting on the throne with a book in his hand that is sealed with seven seals. And in the midst of the throne appears a lamb, as if it had been wounded. We said that this lamb is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. But he does not appear as a lion. He appears as a lamb. Why? Because his victory is not based on his strength. It is based on his suffering, on his scars. His right and worthiness to take this book out of the hand of him that sat on the throne and open the seven seals, we say, is not based on his power, but on his pain. On the fact that he was willing to trade his sovereignty and his divinity, put on humanity and come and die the death that we should have died Oh, but bless God, on Sunday morning, he woke up out of the grave. And he said, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I live forevermore. But not only that, I have the keys to death and hell, to death and the grave. Oh, beloved, he said in a second series of sermons that second sermon in that series that we are winners. We don't have to worry about the devil. We are on the winning side because Yeshua is victorious. Up from the grave, he arose with a mighty power over his foes. He rose with victory over death's domain, the songwriter pens, and he lives forever. And because he lives, you and I can live again. Well, today we want to call your attention to two passages of scripture as we delve into this third installment in this series of messages that we have called, by the leading of the Holy Ghost, Residues of Discontent. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to take it and turn first to our theme passage. We've been reading this passage over and over, and so you should know it by now. And I want you to get some writing utensils, writing material, because I want you to take note, because this message is very important. I'm going to try to teach it, but if I get a little happy and get excited because I love the book of Revelation, then just come tag along with me. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14 will be our first passage of scripture. And the second is Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 12. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12 through 14. I know you have it. You can read or follow along in your favorite version, your preferred version. I will be reading from the King James Version. And it reads, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Here it is. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Have mercy. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregations in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Have mercy, Jesus. Revelation chapter number 12, beginning with verse 7, beloved. Revelation chapter 12, beginning with verse 7. And because of time, I'm going to read till the Holy Ghost tells me to stop. Revelation chapter 7, chapter 12, excuse me, beginning with verse number 7. And it begins, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought, and his angels and prevailed not. And there was found no place in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. I think that's enough. If I were to put a tag on this message today, it would be actually the title of our theme, Residues of Discontent. Residues of discontent. Because this message, beloved, is really focused on how sin came into the world. Who is responsible for bringing sin into the world? And why are we suffering the brunt of the residues of sin, the consequences of sin? Why is it? And who is responsible for bringing sin into the world? And we have to deal with the consequences of sin. We got to deal with a pandemic that's shut down the whole world. We have to deal with sickness, death, and suffering, divorce, loneliness. Who is responsible for this? Sister Casey, well, the word is going to tell us today. First of all, I want you to know, beloved, that sin is a mystery. That Yahweh did not intend for sin to come into the world. But sin came into the world, beloved, because of a holy angel who was not content with all of the immeasurable favor that Yahweh had bestowed upon him. This angel called Lucifer was a covering cherub, was not content with the blessings and the favors and the gifts that Yahweh had given and bestowed upon him, and he became self-centered. He became selfish, and he became covetous. He became narcissistic, and he decided he was going to usurp the power of the Almighty, that he could do better than God. He decided he was going to be God. Oh, beloved, what is it that caused this angel, this holy cherub, to not be satisfied with who he was? What is it that caused him to be so conceited? Well, beloved, the Bible tells us in Ezekiel 28, beginning with verse 11 through 17, the gifts and a favor that Yahweh bestowed on Lucifer. It was the fact that he couldn't handle this favor. Come with me This morning in Ezekiel chapter 28, we're going to look at verse 11. And we're going to hear how the Holy Ghost describes through the prophet Ezekiel the full challenge, or the four incontestable gifts, the four immeasurable gifts that Yahweh bestowed on this holy angel that caused him to become conceived. The first was the gift of wisdom, and the second was the gift of beauty. We find that in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 11, C and D. If you look at verse 11 and you just drop down to the third and the fourth line, you will see the Holy Ghost describing these first two gifts of wisdom, intelligence, intellect, and beauty. It says, thou sealest up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Did you hear it? Thou sealest up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. That means God had favored on this cherub, this angel, this creation of his. Incontestable wisdom and intelligence, flawless beauty, and that got to his head because he was so fine, he was so wise. The third favor that God bestowed on this cherub, we find in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 14. And that is a position. God had given him a great position. Ezekiel 28 verse 14 says, thou was in or on the mountain of God. Watch this. Thou was on the mountain of God. Thou art a covering cherub, an anointed cherub. This is how the text reads. Thou art the anointing cherub that covereth, if you're reading it from the King James. And I set thee so. Thou was on the mountain of God, and thou stood in the midst of the stones of fire. Watch this, watch this, watch this. He was an anointed cherub, a covering cherub. In other words, he was given the position of standing sentinel in very presence. Oh, have mercy, of the great and high God, Lucifer. That's why he was called Son of the Morning. One writer said, when he left the presence of God, he shone as a light because he stood in the presence. Ezekiel recalls that he walked in the midst of the stones of fire. He was on the mountain. He was on the highest peak in the presence of God. His wisdom, his flawless beauty, and his position. And the fourth is his possessions. His possessions. We see that in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 13, and it reads, thou wast in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Listen at these stones, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond. But that's not all. The bear, the onyx, and the jasper. That's not all. The sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold. You talk about precious stone. This was his covering, the Bible says. But that's not all his possession. The text goes on to say, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Did you hear that, beloved? Not only is he fine, not only is he good looking, not only is he intelligent and wise, not only is he clothed with all of the precious stones that God has created, but God gave this angel an immeasurable gift of music. His tablets, his musical annotations, his pipes, his vocal ability. The Bible says was prepared in him. It was fixed in him on the day that he was created. One writer says that when he opened his mouth to sing, he sang a five-part harmony all by himself. Oh, beloved, what else could he want? Everything that any creature needed, Yahweh had bestowed on this covering cherub, this angel, Lucifer. He wasn't satisfied. And so he decided he was going to usurp the power of God. Have mercy. He invoked what I call the consecutive eyes. Oh, beloved, five times Isaiah recorded on the anointing and inspiration of the Holy Ghost that he said, I. We look at Isaiah 14, we read it in our scripture in verse 13. For thou hast said in thy heart, I, the number one I, will ascend into heaven. Oh, but he's not satisfied with that. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Number two, I, a third time, will sit also upon, have mercy, the mount of the congregation in the side of the north. The fourth, I will exalt or will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Bible says in Psalms that the clouds are the chariots of God, and his chariots are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of angels. He was not satisfied that he was a covering cherub, but now he wants to be on the top of all of the angels. I will ascend upon the heights of the clouds. And here's the fifth eye, beloved. That's the most scary. I will be like the Most High. Have mercy. Oh, beloved, I want you to know that the only person who has the right and the prerogative to use the consecutive I is Yahweh. Because he is omnipotent, because he is omniscient, because he is omnipresent, because he is ubiquitous, he is the Most High. God. He is the one who created heaven and earth, the seas, and all that is in it. He is the immortal, the invisible, and the only wise God. He is the only one that has a right to use the consecutive I. And there are only two places in Scripture that we find him using this consecutive I, and he doesn't use it as this selfish and self-centered shepherd for his own benefit. He uses it to protect and to provide for and to sustain his creation. That's how selfless he is. Turn in your Bibles. I'm going slow because I want you to follow along with me and see what brought this mess on us. Isaiah 46, and verse number 4. There we see Yahweh using the consecutive I. And he uses it 5 times. That's why the devil used it 5 times, because his goal is to overthrow the government of God. Yahweh says in Isaiah 46 and verse 4, even in thy old age, I am he. The first I. And even to the forehead, I will keep thee. The third, the second I. I have made the third I, and I will bear the fourth I. Even I will carry thee, and I will deliver, or also deliver, the fifth I. We see in Isaiah 46 and verse 4, 5 consecutive I's that Yahweh uses, but not for selfish use, not for his own self-aggrandizement. No, no, no. He is talking to Israel. He is talking to his people. In your old age, he said, I am he. To the hoar hair, those whose hair have gotten gray, he said, I will keep you. He said, I made you and I will bear you in my arms. He said, even I will carry you and I will deliver. 5 times. The next time we see this consecutive I is in Exodus chapter 13 and verse number 14, or Exodus chapter 3, excuse me, and verse number 14, where Yahweh is speaking to Moses by the burning bush, when Moses is assigned by Yahweh to go and speak to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses says, Lord, when they ask me, who is it that sent me? What am I supposed to say to him? What is your name? Yahweh says to Moses, tell him. Text reads, and the Lord said unto Moses, I am that I am. So shall thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me. Oh, beloved, I told you that only Yahweh, only the creator, only the sovereign one has the prerogative, the authority, and the right to use that consecutive I. But here is this cherub, this angel, had the benefit of walking amongst the stones of fire. with all of these precious stones covered with the sapphire, covered with the emerald, covered with the topaz, covered with the diamond, covered with the jasper, covered with the sardis, covered with the gold, covered with the onyx, his tablets and his pipes prepared in him on the day he was created. Here is this angel that has gotten so self-centered, so covetous, so conceited. He has gotten so narcissistic that he says, I'm not satisfied, that mercy Jesus, with all that you've given me. I want your spot. Oh, beloved, I want you to know, if you want to know someone who is about to head downward, someone who is about to be destroyed, someone who is about to be defeated, show me someone who is all about I, all about themselves, all about their self-centeredness, and I'll show you a sinner. I'll show you someone who is rebellious against God. I'll show you someone who's on their way down to defeat. Instead of God, 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 let me let you know that sin is a three-letter word that has a big I in the middle of an S-I-N. Oh, bless us today, Yahweh. Satan, or Lucifer, became Satan because of this I problem that he had. So here's what Yahweh decided he was going to do. We see that in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 16 and 17. He said, therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. He said, I will destroy you, O covering cherub, and cast you out of the stones of fire. He says, because thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thy wisdom was contaminated because of thy brightness. Yahweh says to him, therefore, I will destroy thee. I will cast you to the ground. I will show you before kings that they will look at you. Oh, beloved, and we see this casting of Lucifer from heaven, this avoiding, this halting of the aspiration of this self-centered and narcissistic angel that was created holy, cast down. Oh, because of him, we are going through all the mess that we are going through today. Don't blame God because of your child that died so early. Don't blame God because of your husband that left you and went after another woman, your wife that left you and went with your friend, your children that turned their backs on you after all that you have done, the sickness that's in your body, the pain that you feel, the troubles that you see. Don't blame God for it. Lucifer, a covering cherub, who because of his narcissism, his self-centeredness, his covetousness, was kicked out of heaven. And you and I are dealing with the mess of the world that we are in today because of hell. So don't blame God. That's why I hate that slew foot. That's why I can't stand. Because he had everything. And he gave it up because of greed. Oh, beloved, I want you to take a walk with me through the teachings of our sermonic text found in Revelation chapter 12, beginning with verse 7 through 12. And we will find five revelatory realities, truths that cannot be changed, that will help us to understand why we're in the mess that we're in, but will give us hope and will cause us to not be afraid of the devil. That will help us to understand that we don't have to be fearful, but we can be faithful, because God has a plan, and that plan is that the devil is a defeated foe. Somebody shout hallelujah where you are. Revelation chapter 12, beginning with verse 7, five revelatory realities that helps us to know that we don't have to faint. We don't have to be fearful. We have to be faithful, because God has given us our inside scoop of how this thing is going to end. Hallelujah to Yahweh. He has given us an insight. Oh, beloved, the first revelatory reality that we see in this sixth set of vision and the first scene. Now, let me do a little teaching here. I told you when we started this series that whenever you engage one of the visions of Revelation, and there are 12 of them, you will find that the last scene is placed to the head of the vision. So that no matter what happens in the other scenes that follow, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be fearful, because you know how the story is going to end. Is anybody listening to me today? And so in this sixth set of vision that's found in Revelation chapter 12 that has four scenes, we are introduced to the first scene, and the first scene begins with Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 7 to 12. So here are the four things. The first is the defeat of the dragon. You need to write that down, or somebody just shout, the defeat of the dragon. That's enough to shout. Yeah, hear what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and did not prevail, neither was there any place found anymore in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angel and did not prevail. Hallelujah, we win. Dragon did not prevail. Neither was there found any more place in heaven. The Bible says that when this dead dragon came up, when this angel came up with this foolishness, this crazy idea that he wants to be God,
Michael, who is the chief of the angels, who is actually the boss of the angels because he's divine. He is the Word. He is Yahshua. He is the one the Greeks call Jesus. Michael, gather the angels. And they came into a battle with Lucifer, the dragon, and those that he had convinced to follow him. You know, narcissistic people have a way of bamboozling, of hoodwinking people to follow them. I don't have to tell you about the election that just happened. 71 million. How does that happen? So the Bible says that this dragon convinced one third of the stars, the angels of heaven, to follow him in the downward pole. So the first revelatory reality that we see is the defeat of the dragon. But that's not all. The second revelatory reality of the prophecy that we see is the dismissal of the dragon from heaven. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent, that means he's been around for a long time, called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast out, and his angels were cast out with him. Oh, beloved. So the second revelatory reality that we see in this passage is that the devil was cast out of heaven. He was dismissed. He was evicted. He left heaven. And then the third revelatory reality that we see in this first scene of the sixth set of visions is the declaration of the defeat and the dismissal of the dragon. Here it is. It's in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. The Bible says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, behold, here is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser, thank you, Jesus, of the brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. Why did we need an angel with a loud voice? Why did we need the voice to be loud, beloved? The voice needed to be loud to make this declaration because the whole universe needed to know. But more than that, those who dwell on earth and in the sea needed to know that the devil was defeated and that he had been dismissed from heaven and was cast down to this earth. He was coming to the earth and the sea, and the declaration needed to be loud and clear so that the inhabitants of the earth and the inhabitants of the sea would know the stuff that they would have to go through. Have mercy, Jesus. Loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, because the accuser of our brother, who accuses them before God day and night, is cast down. I wish somebody would shout, have mercy. Devil is cast down. And this declaration, beloved, leads us into the fourth revelatory reality that we see in this first scene, and that is the disenchantment of the dragon and the danger that it brings to the earth and the sea. The disenchantment of the dragon and the danger that his disenchantment brings to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. We see that in Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 12. And it says, rejoice ye heaven, oh bless God, and those that dwell therein. Woe! Woe! Woe unto the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Did you hear that, beloved? While heaven was rejoicing that he was out, heaven was giving earth and the sea warning, woe! Woe unto the earth and the sea and the inhabitants, because the dragon has been cast down and he's coming to you. He is not happy. He has great wrath. He's mad. He's disenchanted. He's upset. He's furious. And he is mad at God. But he's going to take it out on you and me, because we are sons and daughters of God. And God was giving us a warning in this first scene, in the sixth vision of Revelation chapter number 12, so that no matter what happens in the second scene and the third scene and the fourth scene, you and I can know, don't panic, don't let this shake you, don't let this turn you around, because even though he's mad, even though he's furious, even though he's upset, he is defeated. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish somebody would praise God today. The devil is defeated. You know, he is like a snake with his head cut off. I remember when I was growing up, we had seen this snake, and we were young people, and we were yelling, screaming, and somebody went and got a machete. And one of our older brave friends, because I wasn't that brave, I was always afraid of snakes. I don't like that stuff. And he went and cut the head of the snake. But when he cut the head of the snake, the rest of the body of the snake started thrashing, just moving from place to place. And we were still screaming around, and he says, okay, it's dead. It's just thrashing. Oh, beloved, I stopped by to tell you that the promise that Yahweh made,
Pastor, you're muted.
The vision of the sixth set of vision, we will see that the devil will threaten us by the laws of the dragon. He will threaten us with not being able to buy or sell if we don't get the mark of the beast. But don't be afraid, because you're a winner. He will threaten us with pain and prosecution and persecution, but don't let that bother you, because you're a winner. He will threaten us with the mark of the beast, but you don't have to get the mark. Sister Casey, don't be afraid of the mark. Don't be afraid of the Pope. Don't be afraid of the Roman Catholic Church and whatever they say they're going to do, because you are a winner. How do I know that? Because they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind me, because victory is mine. I'm a winner even if I'm sick. I'm a winner even if I'm tired. I'm a winner if nobody loves me. I'm a winner because I'm on the winning side. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Oh, I thank God today that he has given me an inside scoop on how this thing is going to end. Even though I'm experiencing residues of the devil's discontent, I am on the winning side. And one day he's coming to take me home. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forevermore of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, there to raise my voice. All my cares are past, home at last, ever to rejoice. I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, because I want to see my Jesus someday. Won't he do it? Won't he hold us? Won't he carry us? Won't he give us peace? Yes, he will. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. I'm a winner in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. All praises.
Yes.
You take my way. I'm a winner. I'm a winner. Oh, Yahweh, we thank you today that we win. No matter what's going on right now, COVID or no COVID, we win. No matter what will go on tomorrow, even if 2021 is worse than 2020 was, we win. Oh, God bless you. Bring us to the end of 2020 and usher us into 2021. We thank you for letting us know today that this is the sum of the Christmas story. That there was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy must live, and a path to the cross he was willing to bear, all the sins of my life to forgive. That's what Christmas is about, beloved. It's about the fact that Jesus came. It's about the fact that Jesus lived, that he died my death and your death, that we don't have to die the second death. That's what Christmas is all about. We are winners. Oh God, I thank you for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl, that person who has been afraid of the book of Revelation. God, I pray that this message today will help them see that we don't have to be afraid of the book, that we don't have to be fearful, that all we need to do is be faithful. Bless us today in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Man, amen, Pastor. Did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us, by the way? If you were blessed by the pastor's message, unmute yourself and let him know how blessed you were.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Father. To God be the glory, the praise, and the honor, Father. Thank you for that beautiful message.
Yes.
Powerful message. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
All praise be to God. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
We're going to turn over to our minister of music for our closing song. But before that, we need to take up our offering. I just want you to know that we appreciate every gift that you send to this church. Whether you're a member or whether you just fellowship with us, we want you to know that we appreciate you. And I just want to give a shout out to my cousin who is in our service every week from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Cousin Phoebe. She watched our youth service last Saturday and she was so blessed. She said, Pastor, she said, Cousin D, don't call me Pastor. She said, I was so blessed. She said, I was just weeping. Those young people just touched my heart. She said, I'm going to send a special offering to the youth ministry. I told Minister Raquel and Minister Matt Carter about it, Elder Matt Carter about it. And so we appreciate all of you, those who send from California, New York, and Pennsylvania and Illinois and Indiana and Texas. We got people all in those places that send us offering. But if this is your first time sharing with us in this worship experience virtually, we ask you to be a blessing to us. My daughter bought me this tie for Christmas. It has the little Christmas stuff on it. This is a
season of giving, a time to give. Would you give to the work of the prospering of the gospel of the kingdom of God? Would you just think about the Berean church in your giving moment and write a check? You can send it by snail mail to the Berean Seventh-day Adventist Church, 4555 Fairfields Avenue, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70802. It's on the screen. You can see it. Or you can go to our website, www.BereanBatonRouge.com, and click on online giving. The year is about to end. And before the end of next month, all of you who have given to us in 2020, if we have your address, if you have given us your address and information, we will send you a tax deductible receipt for your giving, because this is a 501c3 religious organization. You can use it to write off on your taxes. But I know you're not giving because of that. You're giving because God has been good to you. And in your appreciation, you're sharing to help this ministry. I'm going to pray right now that Yahweh will bless you abundantly with health, with peace, tranquility, protection, and even finances as you give to this ministry today. Yahweh, I pray for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl, God. Pray that you would give them all that they need, because they are giving to you today. In Yeshua's name, amen.